Welcome to 2017, listeners. Or if you're listening to this farther in the future, welcome to whatever year it is.
Welcome to the past. Do you think that, like, 500 years from now, that they'll find, like, they'll find some, like, ancient computer, like, buried in a library that's been long destroyed, and, like, they'll go on it, and the first site they find is our podcast?
Yeah.
And that's how they will determine. They will basically assume that this era is actually the 70s because of how much we talk about the 70s. So 500 years from now, they'll be like, oh, in 2017, everyone listened to funk music.
Because that podcast was so popular.
And that will be a lie.
More than two people listened to it. We are the two people. Welcome to Funk Radio. Yes. I'm Peter.
And I'm Kyle.
It's been a little while since we last recorded. It's been about a month-ish.
Yeah, we took a holiday break, and then the holiday break turned into a I need to recover from the holiday break, and then that turned into a, oh yeah, the Cheeto in chief is being sworn in. So.
So I went down to California for Christmas. I saw you briefly.
Yeah.
We had... What was that flavor of soda we had?
Root beer. It was like smoked butterscotch root beer.
Root beer, which tasted like medicine.
I thought it tasted good.
we've had a historic storm here.
Oh yeah, we did too.
And then you have too. You've got a lot of rain, which is bizarre.
Depressing story. So the I guess NorCal got like an even worse storm than we did, and Yosemite got completely hammered. Oh. And apparently in said hammering there's a famous redwood or sequoia, whatever tree.
Oh, the one where the cars can drive through. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and it fell over, and I was so
depressed
because not 2 years earlier, when we went to Yosemite, we drove through that tree.
Hmm.
And that tree's been around for, like, I think they said 110 years. It was planted in, like, 1880 or something.
Hmm. That's sad.
So, yeah. I mean, it's cool that I got to drive through it, I guess, before it got destroyed. But it's crazy to think that a tree that's been around for over 100 years, we got to see it just 2 years before it fell over.
Yeah, I guess them's the brakes.
Yeah, luckily a car wasn't driving through it at the time. That would be far worse.
Yeah. New year, a lot of changes going on.
New year, new you. Do you have any resolutions, Peter?
Just to make a better funk radio.
My resolution is to try more Pop-Tart flavors. Did you try either of those two flavors that I gifted you?
I tried both of them.
And your consensus?
So, one of them was, what was it, candy apple, I think?
Yeah, caramel apple.
Caramel apple, that's what it was.
Same thing.
That one tasted a lot like the brown sugar cinnamon.
Just with kind of an appliness to it.
Yeah. And was it Orange Crush, I think, was the other one?
Yeah, that one I was more curious
about.
That was
interesting. It tasted pretty much exactly how you would expect.
Did it just kind of taste like a dreamsicle with, like, the Pop-Tarty pastry flavor?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, the listeners probably want us to...
The listeners care about our Pop-Tart recommendations just as much as our music.
Unfortunately, Pop-Tarts doesn't care about our recommendations.
Because they don't pay us. Yeah, we should probably get started with our first topic of the year 2017. So, I kind of just pulled this topic out of my butt because...
That's the funk radio way.
I was listening to a particular song, and I was like, damn, this song sounds like this other song that I know about. And one thing led to another. I did some research. I tried to think up other songs that I was aware of. That copied other things. I even asked other people, like my significant other. She actually had a couple suggestions that she knew of. And it kind of just turned into an episode of finding songs that listeners often think sound like other songs, and we wanted to debunk, I guess, whether those were stolen or copied or intentional or not.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the funk mystery episode.
We are funk detectives. Yeah, this is, I guess conceptually it's pretty similar to what we did maybe a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
With those, we had like a few like mini episodes called Did They Steal It?
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, this is really similar to this. And I think with some of those, it was like, well, yeah, it was, they used the same melody. They weren't copying each other necessarily. I think actually one or two of them did, but I don't really remember. But it was kind of a mix of things. And I think this list we have today is a similar case.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to tell us about the very first
one? Yeah, the first one, I apologize in advance because this song does feature Pitbull. He's nice enough to at least tell us that he's in the song so that you don't have to listen to it for as long as you have to.
I remember you actually... Was it the episode we did way back about artists featuring other artists and you were complaining that everybody uses Pitbull?
Everybody featured Pitbull, and I said that one nice thing about Pitbull is he lets you know what songs he's in so you can not listen to them. So he's a good guy like that.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah. So this first song that I came up with was the song Dance on the Floor by Jennifer Lopez featuring Pitbull.
Yay.
And a song, this was actually one that my significant other pointed out. Because I would not be caught dead listening to Pitbull. And so she showed me the two songs back to back, and apparently, according to her, it sounds very similar to a song called Lambada by a, I think it's a Portuguese band.
Oh, I looked that up. They're French-Brazilian.
Okay. I was close. Brazil speaks Portuguese, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. A French-Brazilian band called Kaoma?
Sure.
Something. Kaoma. Pronounce that how you like.
Pronounce it like an American.
Yeah. So, in doing some research, it actually was not Kaoma themselves that sort of originated this tune. The melody is actually using elements of a 1982 Bolivian composition called, I'm going to butcher this as well, Llorando Se Fue. Written by Gonzalo and Ulises Hermosa. It was a composition that actually gained notoriety when it was sampled by Kaoma. So, in essence, it's basically a sample of a sample. Kaoma sampled it from an even earlier.
So basically, yeah, it's a U.S. pop usage of a tune in a French-Brazilian song, which in turn
popularized Bolivian.
A Bolivian song.
Yeah, it just shows how much of a world community we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Well, I would say that it was. I would say it was intentional. I would say it wasn't stealing, but it was intentional in its usage, because I was reading that Jennifer Lopez made this song specifically to pay homage to her Latin heritage and, you know, her early career. I believe that it was used intentionally, like as a throwback to, you know, something from her earlier days. Whether it was stealing, I would say no, because she was like, yeah, this is a direct influence.
Yeah, and it was more of an homage.
Intentionally.
It was more, and to be fair, we'll never know if she was originally inspired by the original Bolivian composition, which is in Spanish.
Yeah.
Or the Portuguese version by Kaoma. So yeah, I think that was the original point that my significant other was making, actually, was, you know, this, she thought that it was sampled from Kaoma, and she understood that it was a Portuguese song, so she's like, why is this, you know, why is Jennifer Lopez appropriating a Portuguese song when she's not Portuguese, she's not Brazilian or Portuguese or whatever, she speaks Spanish.
Right.
But turns out that this Portuguese song was actually appropriated from a Spanish version in Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
So, if so facto, she could have easily just taken it from the original. I agree with your assessment. I don't think it was particularly stolen. I think it was more of an homage to that original beat. So, do we want to play all three versions, or do we just want to play the Kawoma and the dance floor version?
I think it's worth playing all three, just to show that. So maybe we should play them in chronological order. Like the Bolivian, LaRonda Sifwe first, then moving up to the Kawoma song, Lambada, and then up to Dance on the Floor by Jennifer Lopez.
That sounds good.
You can hear from those clips, listeners, the kind of evolution, I guess, of that melody between those three songs. How recent is Dance on the Floor?
Fairly recent. I want to say like 2009, 2010. Let me get my facts straight. 2011. So that's the music video seemed fairly recent. It had lots of lens flare. Lens flare was big in like the early 2010s.
Plus it has... How long has Pitbull been doing his shits?
Longer than time itself. I don't know. Let's see. If I type in Pitbull, I'm probably going to get the dog. Yes, I am. Pitbull the rapper has been active since 2001.
That's a long time.
He was just a little puppy.
Somebody, you know what somebody needs to do? Somebody needs to have a song featuring Pitbull, but it's not him. It's like an actual dog.
It's just like...
I would love that.
That would be amazing. I would listen to that far more. It'd be like Who Let the Dogs Out, but it's just dogs barking the entire time.
Who Let Pitbull Out?
Do you remember that song?
I do. That song. That was the song.
Everywhere. Yet another one-hit wonder. Song. Speaking of one-hit wonders, actually, that's a good tie-in. Did you want to talk about this next one, Peter, or do you want me to... take the reins.
We maybe to talk about it together because I'm not familiar with this at all, but
okay,
I guess this is another kind of like a Spanish song by the pop girl group
Lost Ketchup.
So their name is Lost Ketchup. That's
yes
confusing.
And
the song is the ketchup song.
Maybe they just really liked ketchup. So yeah, this group Lost Ketchup, they were a Spanish kind of pop girl group. They were like Spanish Spice Girls, founded by the flamenco record producer Manuel something Ruiz, and they're best known for, I know, right? I can't pronounce it. It's like Q-U-E-C-O, Quaco? Quaker?
We'll call him the Quaker.
The Quaker Oatmeal Band. The group is best known for their 2002 hit single, The Ketchup Song, which actually sold over 7 million copies worldwide. Their debut album that this song is on, Hijas del Tomate? Oh, like tomato. Okay. Hijas del Tomate, whatever.
I'm going to look that up. You keep going.
Has sold over 12 million copies worldwide, but their second album actually did not receive nearly the same success. So, by all financial measures, this was kind of a one-hit wonder group. The funny thing is, the chorus of this song is reminiscent of Spanish, but is actually what is called Spanglish, where they kind of just blend Spanish and English in some nonsensical way that doesn't make sense. And it's a distortion of the 1979 rap hit Rapper's Delight by Sugar Hill Gang. I know we've talked about that song a million times on this show, so I won't go into it. But... The refrain, thank you, that goes, I said a hip-hop, a hippie to the hip-hop.
Hoppy, you don't stop. Rock it out, baby bubble, to the boogie, the bang-bang, the boogie, to the boogie, the beat.
Thank you, because I am white, and just, it's a tongue twister to me.
I'm white as well.
But you're black on the inside, Peter.
That's what really matters.
You're like a reverse Oreo or a Cadbury egg.
I'll have to think about that one. So the chorus takes that refrain but turns it into gibberish, basically.
The melody, I guess, or what you would call the staccato, whatever, of that refrain is pretty much identical. It's just replace Sugar Hill Gang's lyrics with Spanglish, and it's the same thing. The funny thing is, on top of that controversy, I don't know if it was really even a controversy, a larger controversy surrounding the song was that the story of the song, the rest of it that was actually in Spanish, was about a pimp-like gypsy with mystical qualities. and because of that, it came to be known as having, like, Satanism, and it's almost like a devil-worshipping qualities about it. I don't know.
In the Ketchup song.
Yeah. I don't know if it had anything to do with Santeria, which is actually a Spanish sub-religion that kind of blends Catholicism with, like, some voodoo shit. But, yeah. So, that's the song is apparently about a devil gypsy thing.
Music controversies always are interesting.
Exactly.
So, should we, we have a couple more things to say, but why don't we play these back to back? What order should we play these in?
Rapper's Delight, and then we can do the Lost Ketchup so you can see how it sounds similar to Rapper's Delight, I guess.
Okay.
Tell me, wonder, Mike, what are you waiting for?
To the hip hop, the hippie to the hippie, the hip hip, the hopper, you don't stop. Rock it to the bang, bang, the boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie bead. Well, skiddle bee bop, we rock a Scooby Doo. And guess what? America, we love you.
So, a very important thing to touch on here. The album name, Hijas del Tomate, is Spanish for Daughters of the Tomato.
That makes sense.
So, like I said, yeah. We figured it was something like that.
Oh, yeah, because hija and hijo is daughter and son. I'm retarded.
There you go.
I took 5 years of Spanish and I forgot that. I'm a bad person.
It's all good.
Jesus.
I almost feel like that should be their band name.
Daughters of the Tomato? Yeah. I know, right?
Because that seems more... Well, whatever. Lost Ketchup is fine.
But yeah, they were kind of a one-hit wonder pop group in the late 90s. The funny thing was, this was another one that my significant other showed me. I literally have never heard this song before. And she's like, are you serious? Yeah. It was like so popular.
Yeah, I never heard it either.
But yeah, apparently it was like popular in like the late 90s, early... like 2000, so at that time I was just enamored by Pokemon. I probably ignored all other pop culture things going on.
So what do you think, Kyle? Do you think they stole this?
I think so, only because there's no mention of them saying, hey, we really like Sugar Hill Gang, they're totally awesome. Yeah. You know, we want to be like them. The genre is so far removed from rap. That whether it was intentional, I can't specifically say, but I think it was used simply for the purpose of, hey, this is catchy, let's stick it in here and just change the words.
Yeah.
So in that way, I think they did steal it. It's one of those legal gray areas where it's like, if you change the words enough, like, is it still stealing? Is it sampling? Is it, like, what does that fall under copyright-wise?
Well, when you think about it, too, like, with how influential Rapper's Delight was...
Yeah, they didn't...
In its own genre. I mean, like, there's literally, like, hundreds of different songs that, you know, use some piece of the lyrics from that song.
Very true.
In their own song, you know what I mean? So it's like, well, which ones are stealing it, which ones are, like, homaging it? It's kind of hard to tell.
Good example is Kid Rock uses this exact same sample, and I forget the name of the song, but it was really popular when I was in like fifth grade. He uses the exact same sample, except it's more of like a rock sound to it, whatever. But yeah,
that's uses the same like lyrics from the refrain. You mean?
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, yeah, because exactly like you said, so many different groups have sampled it, so many different genres have used it, it's become ubiquitous to a degree that if Raffles Delight ever went to pursue anything, they'd be drowned in, you know, litigation.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if we had to say something, I would say, I guess, yeah, they did steal it, only from the perspective of they didn't give the Sugar Hill Gang any credit.
Yes, exactly.
And, I mean, I guess you could argue that, you know, it's so, Raffles Delight is so ubiquitous at this point, even by the early 2000s, that it's like everybody knows what you're homaging. It's not like you're trying to get away with copying it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But whatever.
So yeah, the next one is another sort of current hit, I guess, pseudo current hit. Is the song "Sugar" by Flo Rida. This one was one that I pinpointed, and this was the actually kind of the genesis of this episode, I guess, for me. This song "Sugar" by Flo Rida ripped off the song "Blue Dabadi" by the techno Euro techno band Eiffel 65. Now they are the quintessential definition of one hit wonder, because this song I remember was massive as hell.
Yeah,
and I didn't even know they came out with any of the songs. I didn't even know that they lasted beyond this song. But a funny anecdote about this song, actually. When did this song come out?
I'm actually looking that up. 1999.
Thank you.
Looks like.
So they had a music video for this song that, if you listeners go look it up, it is the most terrifying fucking thing ever created by mankind. It's like really, I mean, again, it's 1999, so the I guess computer generated imagery wasn't exactly, you know, awesome back then. Mm-hmm. And it was this little 3D Smurf looking dude. And the funny thing is, I remember seeing this music video on like Disney Channel or something when I was nine, and it was late at night or whatever late is to a 9-year old. And I watched it, and I was just horrified, like, legitimately scared about this character. Because of the way he moved, the way it was animated, it was really weird. So maybe something about that kind of threw me off. But it was a weird video, and I remember to this day that the video scared me as a child.
I've never seen that. I'm kind of scared to watch it now. So was that the turning point for you where you said, I'm gonna do animated graphics and stuff so that I can not scare children?
Well, like, no, that's what's funny is, like, this was a couple of years after Toy Story, which I love and was an awesome movie. So you have Toy Story, which is well animated, and then you have this, which looks like it was like shit out of some Eastern European block studio, which probably was. And it was not fun. It was scary. So,
wow.
I encourage you listeners to go look it up, only because it's a piece of, I guess, 90s history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is one of those songs that you forget about for a long time, and then you hear it again, and you're like, oh, my God, yeah, that song. I was actually listening to it earlier, again, just
nice
to relive the 90s, I guess. So yeah, so "Sugar" by Flo Rida, you heard this and you said, "Hey, that sounds a lot like Blue."
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, I went on a bit of a tangent. So the song "Sugar" by Flo Rida is by, obviously, Flo Rida.
And that was in 2009. So it was 10 years later.
Exactly. Yeah, that's funny. Just fun fact. And it also featured the pop singer Winter Gordon. The song's chorus samples the refrain from Blue Dabadi, and it makes no qualms about sampling it. They credit them, so let's get out of the way that basically, yet no, they didn't steal it, they sampled it.
Right.
I guess, a conversation for another day, but it does seem like a lot of artists, rappers, whomever, often sample one-hit wonder songs. And I wonder if that's because, you know, whatever sampling they're doing, it fell out of favor that, you know, oh, if they tried to go after us, it's like they're broke because they're one-hit wonders. So
there may certainly be something to that.
yeah, anyways.
I think, so, quick, I think way back when we were, maybe not that long, it was maybe a year ago or so, when we were last talking about songs used, like, on TV commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Especially within, like, funk and soul genres. I think I remember, now that you say that, I kind of remember us noting that a lot of the time one-hit wonder songs are used. Mm-hmm. And I think we actually were wondering, like, maybe that's because they're cheaper to get licensing for.
Yeah.
So the same may very well be true.
I guarantee it's exactly it. You know, even if they are sampling and they're paying for that sample, I guarantee they're getting it at, you know, $5 bargain bin prices. Yeah. So we wondered about that. We wondered about what's in a Wonder Ball. There was a lot of wondering in that episode. Speaking of which, I told you I had a Wonder Ball recently, right?
Oh yeah, did you choke on the candy treats inside?
No, I did not. Because I'm not a stupid American child. So I had that, right? Because they actually had them during Christmas at Target. I was like, okay. But even more recently, I was at what I could only call a Vietnamese grocery store in Westminster. It was very much Asian influence, like basically all the signs were in Viet or Chinese.
Westminster, yeah, man. That's like...
That's Vietnam land.
That's like the Vietnam of Orange County.
Pretty much. So what's funny is in that store, I saw a Kinder Egg, which are the German equivalent of Wonder Balls that actually are illegal. I don't know if they made them legal again or something, but you never see it. Yeah, I never see those in American grocery stores.
Well, the Kinder... Of course, we're so off topic.
I know.
The Kinder Egg, I thought, didn't you say, because I've never, like, seen them or eaten them, but didn't you say that, like, that was the direct influence of the Wonder Ball?
Yeah.
And that the Wonder Ball was the one that added, like, the stickers or toys or whatever inside the ball, which is why they got outlawed at some point, because kids were choking on, like, the non-edible parts, but the Kinder Egg maybe does not have that?
The Kinder Egg... Let me look this up really quick. The Kinder Egg, I believe, is almost like a Cadbury egg, where it's just filled with goo.
Well, while you're looking that up, why don't we play clips of... we'll first play a clip of Eiffel 65's Blue, the melody from that, back-to-back with Sugar by Flo Rida, and you listeners can hear the similarity of that melody, especially since, like we said, it was a direct sample we figured out, so... It should be pretty obvious.
Back to our totally relevant topic of Kinder Eggs. Kinder Eggs are also known as Kinder Surprise, and they are a chocolate egg containing a small toy, usually requiring assembly. So, not only is it like, this chocolate contains small parts, it's like, this chocolate egg contains parts you have to then assemble.
Oh my god.
In your stomach.
That sounds cool, but also I would be really scared to eat it, because especially with small parts like that.
Yeah, so Wonder Ball took that idea, and instead we're like, okay, let's put candy inside, because we're not retarded, but then kids were choking on the candy anyways, because they're, like, eating the ball whole or something, and even that was like, okay, American kids are too stupid to even handle candy inside balls, we have to put a moratorium on these, so... So yeah,
was there a toy inside the Kinder Egg?
I did not buy the Kinder Egg, unfortunately, because I was in a hurry. If we go back there, I will definitely do so and let you listeners know.
That's funny. So we have one more thing to say about these two songs.
Yes.
I keep trying to, like, re-rail this conversation.
Yeah.
So you put here that there is actually mixed reception of Sugar.
Yes.
By Flo Rida, due to specifically this sample.
Yeah, the reception for the song was decidedly kind of a mixed bag, as you said, with some reviewers, like Billboard Magazine, saying that it, quote, rides an unlikely interpolation of Blue, Dabadee, by Eiffel 65, but they consider it one of the highlights of the album. However, other sites, overview sites like AllMusic, basically said the song is, quote, shameless enough to incorporate elements of Eiffel 65's Eurotrash earworm, Blue Dabadee, but chose it as a track pick. So basically they were like, you know, they put in this shitty music, or shitty one-hit wonder into the song, and they picked this song as the single.
So I guess that's the risk you run with sampling stuff like that, mm-hmm. is that some people are going to be like, oh yeah, I remember that song, I like that. Now I automatically like your song too, Flo Rida. But other people are going to be like, man, are you really going to bring this shit back up?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear this.
I'm in the latter category. I don't think that you should resurface a band like that, only because it resurfaces repressed memories in my own childhood.
I think it definitely depends on the song and how long it's been since that song was popular. Mm-hmm. This might be a case where it was still just a little bit too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the song's 10 years old. Maybe it was for that nostalgic purpose of like, oh yeah, man, I remember that song. Like, they're going to start sampling the Macarena now.
Personally, I think, just to throw a number out there, I mean, I think 20 years might be a little bit more of a nice buffer zone for starting to sample stuff.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because, I mean, if you're sampling something that came out last year, I mean, you're just being lazy at that point.
Exactly. So, yeah, anyway. That was Sugar by Flo Rida and Eiffel 65. Like I said, I encourage you listeners, to go watch the video for Eiffel 65's Blue, because it will haunt your dreams.
I'm kind of, like, not going to watch it now because I'm scared to watch it.
In reality, it's not as scary as 9-year-old me remembers. I just skimmed through it on YouTube here. It was more just the animation was jarring, so everything about it seemed kind of off, and therefore I was just like, this is scary. But now I just find it funny.
That's funny. Yeah, I was actually going to ask you if you had watched it again since then, but...
Yeah, I was just watching it while I was also researching Kinder Eggs. Multitasking.
those are relevant things.
I know, right?
So, the fourth song in our list of five is the song Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, I think this is the most notorious of all of them by far.
I would say so.
Yeah. To be honest, I kind of threw this one in here because I was like, oh yeah, everyone remembers that, you know, plagiarism, I guess. Because it was literally in the news. They interviewed him about it.
If you're not aware, this song rips off the main melody from Under Pressure by Queen.
And David Bowie.
Which
all the more sad because he's dead and Vanilla Ice isn't. terrible. I think Vanilla Ice got arrested recently for, like, breaking into a house. I'm gonna look this up because as much as we make up facts on the show, I don't want to be arrested for like libel or whatever.
Well, while you look that up, I'm gonna say some things that we looked up. So like we said, this takes the like that main bass line from Under Pressure. The interesting thing I thought with this is that Vanilla Ice actually didn't initially give Queen and David Bowie credit for this. Or, like, he didn't give them any royalties or anything until after the song became a hit. Mm-hmm. And people started to notice the similarity. I noticed that in a 1990 interview, it said that Vanilla Ice said that the two melodies were slightly different because he had added an additional note, which is actually true, if you know, because that little melody repeats. And I think every other time, like, there's an extra note thrown in that he did. So I think initially that was his excuse of, well, it's not copying it because there's an extra note in there, so it's not the exact same thing. But apparently later on in other interviews he started to say, like, yeah, I sampled that song, and I was just joking when I said that before. But a lot of people don't think that's true. They thought he was serious at the beginning. I actually don't know. He probably was serious initially.
Yeah,
honestly, especially because he didn't, like, if he gave them credit and then said, well, I only, you know, whatever, but he didn't even give them credit and he said that, it's kind of like, well,
come on. Exactly. It's like you're just asking for it. Well, if this says anything about his character, apparently he was arrested and charged in 2015 with burglary and grand theft for stealing furniture, a pool heater, bicycles, and other things from a vacant home in Florida. All right. And apparently it was connected to a TV show that he was doing called The Vanilla Ice Project. And it said that he was renovating a nearby home and allegedly thought it was a good idea to go to this abandoned house or vacant house and take some of the items.
I see. So he didn't actually understand that it was stealing? Is that what the deal was?
To a degree, it sounds like it.
Or he just didn't care? He thought
nobody
would notice.
Yeah, it says the house was vacant. However, the actual owner of the property did have a problem with someone taking stuff from it.
Wow.
So it was kind of like, I don't know if his logic was just like, well, no one lives here, so it's free.
Oh, Vanilla Ice.
So I didn't even know he had a TV show. The funny thing is he still has that stupid-ass soul patch. I don't really have a lot of room to talk. As you remember, for a time, I did rock the soul patch. But, yeah.
Well, all right. Well, now we know that. So that's more proof that that Vanilla Ice likes to steal things from people.
Oh, exactly.
So, like I said, later on, he was saying that he was just joking, that he wasn't serious about what he had said. At that point, he actually did, and at that point, the song was popular, and he started paying them royalties for, obviously, that song, because that, you know, that melody is so prominent in it. It's like, are you serious? You were going to pay them for that?
Yeah, exactly.
So as a result, now Bowie and all the members of Queen have since been giving songwriting credit in that song.
Well, that's cool. The sad thing is, I guarantee that their original version is probably still played more than his. As far as, like, them receiving royalties, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess the answer of did they steal it or did he steal it? Yes, he did.
I would say so. I mean, like, eventually he did give them credit for it, but initially, yeah, he did steal it. Let's go ahead and play Under Pressure by Queen, followed up by Ice Ice Baby. They are basically identical. If you listen really closely, you may notice that extra note that he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, you kind of have to be paying attention to notice it. So,
true.
Let's hear that. So our last one here is actually probably the most
interesting, I guess.
Convoluted. The most convoluted, to the point where it's hard to say whether or not they actually did steal it, and it involves a few different songs.
Yeah. The last one that I came up with, this one I actually kind of did some research to find other songs that, you know, people thought stole the melody to or whatever, is the song Viva La Vida by Coldplay. And I originally found that it was ripped off from Joe Satriani's If I Could Fly.
Mm-hmm.
But then in doing some more digging, there were two other songs that popped up that said, oh, this song sounds like this song. One being Foreigner Suite by Cat Stevens, and the other being The Songs I Didn't Write by Creaky Boards, whom I've never heard of before. So the story goes, originally they were accused of plagiarism by Creaky Boards for this song called The Songs I Didn't Write. Weird name. Creaky Boards band member Andrew Hofner claimed that Chris Martin had heard them playing the song at a live show in October 2007. Coldplay denied the claim. The spokesman for the band, Murray Chambers, said that Martin was actually working at the studios in London at the time. And not only that, Coldplay's recorded demo version of Viva La Vida was in March 2007, five or six months before this live show of Creaky Boards.
So the Coldplay song came out before that Creaky Boards performance?
The song was released after Creaky Boards' performance, but the demo for the song was recorded before.
Oh, interesting.
We discussed demos in an earlier episode, so you know they're kind of like unfinished, rough cuts of songs.
Yeah. Okay.
In a surprising M. Night Shyamalan twist, Creaky Boards later retracted those accusations and speculated that both songs may have actually been inspired by music from the video game The Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
I don't know what that
is a claim that you can make.
I don't know what particular music from Legend of Zelda that they're saying it sounded like, but I'm just like, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, interesting. So
that was the initial one that accused Coldplay for this.
Yes.
But I guess it kind of debunked itself because of the timing.
Yes, exactly.
That's interesting.
Not to be outdone by Creaky Boards, I suppose, in December 2008, guitarist Joe Satriani filed a copyright infringement suit against Coldplay in Los Angeles, claiming that Viva La Vida incorporates, quote, substantial original portions of his instrumental track, If I Could Fly, from his 2004 album, Is There Love in Space? No, there's not love in space. There's no air.
You can make love in space. So at that point it was a few years earlier. So yeah, I guess there's not really as much of a possibility of it kind of being like the Creaky Boards situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Once again, the band denied the allegation, saying that similarities were, quote, entirely coincidental. And in 2009, the case was actually dismissed by the California court, with both parties agreeing to an out-of-court settlement. So,
okay, interesting.
See, that's the thing about our American system that I've slowly figured out is if someone accuses you of something, but they can't necessarily, they don't have enough proof to say you did it, you can just what's called settle, where you basically can say, I'm just going to pay you money to shut the hell up, and I don't have to admit to doing anything wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing with royalties, is that at the end of the day, I mean, the whole point of getting that recognition, like in Joe Satriani's case, would have been to get royalties and money.
Exactly.
From Viva La Vida. So I guess,
if he got money from him in that circumvented way, I guess no harm, no foul. Yeah, makes sense. So that happened in 2008, and then a year later, in 2009, Yusuf Islam, better known as Cat Stevens, stated that the song sounded very similar to his song Foreigner Suite. He said, quote, my son brought this to my attention and said, doesn't this sound like Foreigner Suite? Islam later said that any legal action that he might take depends on how, quote, depends on how well Satriani does. So, basically he said, like, I'm only going to jump in on this if Satriani wins his suit.
That's really funny.
Which obviously he did not, so I'm assuming that he didn't pursue anything against Coldplay.
Well, there was some settlement, but I guess he doesn't know for sure whether he got, you know, millions of dollars out of it or something.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Here's,
they just, like, paid him in Coldplay CDs.
Yeah. Lifetime supply of listening to How We Stole Your Music.
Terrible.
So before we... there are more things I want to say about this. Before we go any further, though, let's play those...
Yeah, should we do chronological order again so that this isn't too confusing? Or should we play...
So which... Was Foreigner Suite older than If I Could Fly?
Here's the thing, though. Do those different songs incorporate different parts of Viva La Vida? So we should maybe play the part Viva La Vida that...
I think they were the same, like, bit.
Okay.
In both of those. I think you and I agreed before we started recording even that the Joe Satriani song was a lot more similar to Coldplay than Foreigner Suite was, but I still saw there is some similarity. Let's do it in reverse order. Let's do Coldplay first, and then followed by Joe Satriani, and then Foreigner Suite.
That sounds good.
By Cat Stevens. I can't tell her son of it.
Field.
so you listeners probably heard some similarities there.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess this is one of those cases where, you know, a band and a song are so popular that people, you know, try to find how, you know, they can make money off it. Not to say that, you know, Satriani and Stevens didn't have
valid
grounds for it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess more so in Cat Stevens' case, it was like, well, maybe I can make some money off of this. Let's see. But there's, I think there was kind of less grounds for that. So I guess this was a fairly big deal, this whole controversy with the song. Because I know, I actually told you this as well, that in an old podcast I used to listen to, which I mentioned once or twice on the show, they actually did an episode just on, I believe, these three songs. And maybe they mentioned some others as well that were similar.
Huh.
And actually, I think that podcast was around like 2009 or so, 2008. So that was kind of more around like when this was actually happening.
That's funny.
This is actually reminding me too of this last summer when we discussed the Led Zeppelin thing.
Oh yeah.
Because it was like the latest and I think probably several different lawsuits they've had with Stairway to Heaven. And the interesting kind of conclusion of that was they were like, well, so this is a melody that's been used by like, you know, dozens of songs for literally hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, does anybody really own that? Not really. So I'm wondering whether this, maybe not so much of a kind of a similar situation.
Yeah, very true.
So I guess did they steal it? I don't know. I kind of want to say yeah, but it's one of those things where it's kind of hard to
quantify.
I would probably say yes personally. Just because they took a very similar melody and didn't give anybody credit for it. And it seems highly unlikely that they would come up with the exact same melody.
Yeah, as someone else. That's what I find so interesting is like, although, yeah, like as you said in the Led Zeppelin case, a certain melody has been used numerous times throughout musical history. I just kind of wonder, like, all the notes in the world that could be played in any sequential order, yeah, and you just happen to land on the same exact rhythm or melody as someone else 20 years ago. It seems weird, you know?
Well, on a like when you have like a smaller scale of like a few notes, then sure, like plenty of people are going to come up with that same scale. But when you're talking about like an entire refrain of notes and like an entire melody, like then it becomes more of like, okay, there's a lot less chance of people just happening to come on those same notes, like at that length. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, I tend to agree with you. I say yes, but I guess we should leave it up to our two listeners, which is us, and we said yes. So
actually, we do
it's
actually.
Settled.
So actually, this isn't that relevant, but it kind of reminded me of this, so I wanted to bring it up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is probably a number of months ago. I actually looked it up again. I was reading about Kraftwerk, the German electro pop band or whatever, and I was reading about how apparently they're really, I guess they're notoriously reclusive. It says providing rare and enigmatic interviews using life-size mannequins and robots to conduct official photo shoots, and they refuse to accept mail or visitors at their studio, and they only take phone calls during like certain times of day.
Huh.
Which is really bizarre. The thing that's relevant here is that Coldplay sampled the Kraftwerk song Computer Love in the song Talk from their album X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a time where they actually they sampled it officially and gave credit. Because, I mean, if you listen to those two back to back, I mean, it is the same melody.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the thing that's funny about this is that because they're so reclusive and everything, Chris Martin, the leader of Coldplay, anecdotally recalled in an interview with Q Magazine how he was trying to, you know, get permission to use this melody.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they're hard to reach. It says he recalled writing them a letter and sending it through the lawyers of the respective parties, and several weeks later he received an envelope containing a handwritten reply that simply said yes. I'm just like, fucking Kraftwerk.
Like, it's pretty funny.
That's how they give their permission.
Yes, I
got, for some reason, I kind of, that little story sticked with me, and then when we were talking about this, it kind of reminded me of that.
That's pretty funny.
So, That and I think that was maybe like a year before this or so, mm-hmm. Viva La Vida or so. So I mean, like that time they actually did, you know, give credit and everything, and they went through unusual lengths to get that permission, even though it was just a handwritten yes. That's so funny. I'm not gonna say that like, oh, Coldplay's evil because they just steal from everybody, and that's not true.
No. Yeah.
And this case with Viva La Vida could very well have been unintentional. Maybe they heard the Joe Satriani song at some point and then just subconsciously it kind of got into their heads.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I was going to say, on top of that, I'm probably butchering this quote a little bit, but in response to these allegations, Chris Martin actually said, like, you know, if all these people are trying to take our top song, then that's just inspiration for us to make, you know, 25 songs that are better than this. So
that's interesting.
A little arrogant, but at least it's like, hey, you know, if people are trying to tear us down, we just got to do better,
I guess. Yeah, I mean, that's a good attitude to have, I guess. As long as you're not being too much of a dick. Yeah. And each of those 25 new songs steals from something else. Oh, God. So this is a good list. I think there was a nice mix of stuff. You know, once we dug into it, like, some did steal, some didn't. Others were not quite so clear. Mm-hmm. But that was interesting.
Yeah, if you listeners enjoyed our little Did They Steal It? Mystery Funk episode, let us know. We'll try to do some more, I guess. We'll be like Funk Scooby-Doo. Scooper diggity-doo. Exactly. So, yeah.
So if you have ever stolen anything, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk.
Tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/LAPD.
Sure.
Yay for the first episode of 2017. Hopefully we'll get back into the groove and be doing more. Sorry for the hiatus, listeners. And by listeners, I mean Peter.
Thank you for listening, Kyle.
You're welcome.
Is there anywhere else where people... Oh, yeah, I guess SoundCloud. We have like our most recent 4 or 5 episodes at a time. SoundCloud.com/getyourfunk. Our more permanent archive was at mixcloud.com/getyourfunk. So yeah, if you're listening on SoundCloud, you can actually leave comments and like and follow us and whatnot there as well. So if you're listening from there, hello and say something, or do what everybody else does and say nothing.
We're so self-defeatist.
Yes.
So yeah, this has been your host Kyle,
and this has been your host Peter.
Bye. We love you.